Normal service will now continue. If only I remember where I was. Seven, wasn't it? All right, here we are, seven. Seven tells us to rest in the Lord. Sometimes it takes a greater discipline to wait on the Lord. And it demands a kind of patience from us, which is a bit more than human beings can sometimes master. But it's something that goes together with faith. Faith and trust. Because faith is expecting things you don't see. You need to wait. So this is a lesson that God sometimes has to teach us. The answer doesn't come straight away. And we may be flustered, but don't be impatient. God will answer you very soon. Now look at verse 8 and to 10. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It leads only to evil doing. Then verse 9. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man may be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. So, cease from anger, forsake wrath, don't fret yourself, because our glorious Lord, these verses are very plain, they don't need much explaining, because the wicked does not last long, and we will be delivered from the power, His power over us, because God will see to that. And finally, we will be delivered from all wickedness in that glorious day when the Lord takes us to be with Himself. So we are not to be occupied with wickedness now. Don't waste your time troubling yourself, losing your sleep, getting all excited about them. And then, you know, we are told three times in this psalm not to fret. Look at verse 1. Fret not yourself. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Fret not yourself. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger. Fret not yourself. Doesn't this tell something about us? That we tend to fret about things which we should leave in the hands of the Lord, really. Now, verse 11 reads, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. So the fretting is the one that's due to some a very strong self-reliance. Because we think if we fret, something might happen. But verse 11 is a cure for that. It says, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. I'm thinking of somebody who has great humility and from whom we can learn. And that man is Moses. And there's one incident in his life. If you've been studying the Old Testament, I want to draw your attention to that. In Numbers chapter 12, you can read it at home. I'm just telling you the story of it. How this is a remarkable verse. Because in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And that is why I bring this into our verse today. Now this is a story. You see, Moses had to escape from Egypt and he went to Midian where he settled down and he married Zipporah. Zipporah was the daughter of a priest of Midian. And of course they are the same tribe, the same nationality. So he was quite happy. And the point of the story is that after she died, then the events took a different turn because he married a Cushite woman. Now the Cushite belongs to the Ethiopians. You know Ethiopians are black. So his new wife is black. The old wife was, well, a tawny color, same as his own race. Then this was an offense to Moses' brother, Aaron, and his sister, Miriam. You know that. And Miriam, in particular, being the lady that she was, she retaliated against him, and she said to him, "Well, who do you think you are? Does God only speak through you? He can also speak through us." That's in verse 9 of chapter 12 of Numbers. Now, God was listening, just as he does in this psalm. He's not far away. He knew this complaint. So he brought both the brother and sister and Moses to the tent, and his glory came down. And then the anger of the Lord, we are told, burned against them. And then, when the cloud lifted, this is verse 9 and 10, Miriam was leprous. He was white as snow. Verse 9 and 10. Now, in other words, God is saying to Miriam, "You're offended because your brother married a black woman. You are brown. And so you think that light is better than dark. So why not be all white?" So she was a leper. But Aaron was so struck by this hideous sight that he begged Moses. And Moses prayed to God, and Miriam was restored. Happy ending, alright? But it tells you something about Moses. He didn't fight back with them. He didn't tell them, "Mind your own business." We would have said that, wouldn't we? "It's my wife, not yours. So why do you worry, Aaron?" And so on. So Moses' conduct through all this incident is really exemplary. His wife was insulted and he was despised by people because his leadership, he said, "Who do you think you are? God can speak through us here, not only through you." So authority was challenged, but he did not try to vindicate himself. He did not say, "I went to Mount Sinai and did this and that." He didn't do that. Not at all. That is why he's called a meek man. And that is what Psalm 37 is about. He trusted God, he delighted himself in God, he committed himself to the Lord, which are the words which are used in this psalm, and he refrained from being angry. Because when you're angry, you speak words that later you regret. But you can't take it back. The horses are all left, you can't close the door and bring back the horses into the stable. So, this same man, although he's meek, we know later on, there was it's before Sinai, he was able to stand before Pharaoh and to demand from this powerful king that he let the people go. This was the same man who wouldn't answer his brother and sister, but has the courage at the right time, in the right place, to speak up for God. Remarkable. That's why I want to bring this incident up to show you that you can be meek at the right time, and yet later on, when the time calls for it, you will be able to speak up for in the name of the Lord for the right reason. So now, where are we now? We are going to verse 12. My notes were disarranged while I was looking at this thing, but just give me a minute while I look at it. Now let's look, I want to jump ahead because this is a long, long thing. So let's look at verse 16 and 17. Let me read that. "Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the day of the blameless, and the inheritance will be forever." A little that a righteous man is better than the riches of many of the wicked. I think this is good advice for us who are in this modern world. All too often we in our materialistic culture, we put the emphasis on the wrong place. We think that money can buy happiness. Of course, we can buy a car with it. That makes us happy. But it doesn't buy everything. But the happiness of the wicked people is an illusion. It wouldn't last long at all. We know that. Because after a while, it's gone. He thinks it'll last forever, but it doesn't. I want to quote to you somebody called Cecil Rhodes. Cecil Rhodes is a state in Africa named after Rhodesia. And he was a very rich man in gold as well as in diamond. He was a very rich and powerful man. Have a state named after him. Now, General Booth, who is the founder of Salvation Army, met him and he says, ask him if he was a happy man. And Rhodes replied, I quote him, he said, me? Happy? Good heavens, no. So this tells us something, doesn't it? That godliness with contentment is great gain. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Let's look at verse 18 and 20 now. And it reads like this. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance. So the wicked man, in other words, has no protection. But the righteous man has. It may look on this earth that it's the righteous man who has no protection. But the truth is the other way around. Because God says otherwise, that's what he's telling us here. So if you look at from God's perspective, the wicked man's defenses, what he thinks are his defenses against misfortune, are worthless. He can be brought down any time by sickness, by collapse of the stock market. As we know, it's been predicted already. What happened to all these cryptos and so on? We all know the people invested in them thinking they own a lot of the world, in fact, now find themselves regretting it. So, fortunes on the earth are really temporary. Life is not a stock market. Life has to be based on something more firm than that, because God says otherwise. This text tells us that the wicked flourish, but the beauty of the fields, they will vanish like smoke. We speak about beautiful people we read about on the internet, and in the magazines, they are so-called celebrities. They are very rich people. They always appear in the news. They seem to flourish like flowers, according to scripture, from the spring. The flowers will soon vanish. After all, beautiful people, their beauty fades. And you have to do uplift here and there. The popularity also goes away because somebody else comes up, become more popular than this person. And sometimes people overextend themselves. And then they lose what they have. And then all the influence passes to other people. And they have to watch and say, well, too bad. It's like what the Bible says, in the dry months, the hills are often dry because the weather is so hot and so they burn. And so it is, isn't it? We read recently in California, the fires were so big, so many people with rich homes were burned. I'm not saying every one of those were burned. are bad people. Huh? I'm just telling you how temporal life can be. That's the point I just want to bring to. Because the righteous are not promised while we are here to have a trouble-free life. That is not what the Bible is teaching us. What God has promised, He will keep them, and when the judgment comes, they will be justified. He has promised that He will look after them. Well, the wicked will fail in this aspect. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 10, we have read when we studied that book, God promised the church, the people who are true to Him, He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. That is Revelation chapter 3 verse 10. The righteous like us are actually weak as water. We know that. But because the Lord has promised to sustain us as His servants, we can take heart in that. I have often told you, and I tell you again, the days are short, and the Lord is coming soon. So please remember that when you do your planning, so that we will not be caught on the wrong foot, unprepared. So now, let us jump on to 16 and 17. We have read 18 and 19. 16 and 17. A little that the righteous man have is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. I want to give you a reference which I did not give just now. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the day of famine they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. So the Lord knows the way of the upright, we are told here, because the inheritance in the Lord will be forever. They won't be ashamed, because when the time of evil comes, as it will certainly come, in the days of famine, in those days, of course, famine is a problem, they will be satisfied. But the wicked will perish. Enemies of the Lord shall be, well, they'll vanish like smoke, like those fat of the lambs when they offer them on the altar of sacrifice, like smoke. In other words, the wicked man has no protection. It may look as though the righteous man has no protection, but God says otherwise. It's the other way around. Because the wicked man, the one who is well-to-do, says, look, I've got all this. I've got my property, I've got my stocks, my shares, I've got my friends, I've got my connections up there. I'm well provided for. That's what he thinks. How do you know his other friends are all lost as well? And they will stand by him in the time of trouble. So I think his trust is in the wrong place. So this text tells us that the wicked flourish like the beauty of the fields, but as I said just now, they vanish like smoke.